Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Behind the scenes with expelled associate producer Mark Mathis. Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Robert Crowther at the CSC in Seattle, and as most of our listeners are no doubt aware, this spring, Expelled, a new documentary film, will open in theaters around the U.S. Expelled stars political pundit, economist, actor, game show host, and really all-around Renaissance man, Ben Stein. And he'll be looking at the academic persecution faced by scientists who question Darwinian evolution. And joining us today is one of the filmmakers, part of the Premise Media team of guys that are making the film. This is Expelled associate producer Mark Mathis. Welcome to ID the Future, Mark.
Rob, it's my pleasure to be here.
Great. We've talked in the past with some of your Premise colleagues on the program, like Walt Ruloff, and we've written a fair amount about the film on Evolution News and Views, and we've been screening the super trailer for Expelled at intelligentdesign.org. So I'm guessing that most, probably a fair amount of our listeners anyhow, are pretty familiar with the film. But for those who aren't, maybe you could give us a quick overview of what it's about and what in the world is Ben Stein doing in a movie about Darwinism?
Well, it's the premise of the film is that we've got scientists all over this country who are being persecuted simply because they're acting scientific, which is they are questioning the dogmatic view that is held in science that Darwinism is the answer to all that we see in life. I mean, in science, scientists are supposed to question prevailing theories, and that's what these scientists are doing. And as a result of having done that and supporting the hypothesis of intelligent design, they have been heavily persecuted. The teaching contracts have not been renewed. People have been kicked out of the academic system, their lives have been turned upside down, their careers ruined, their characters assailed, all for simply questioning an idea.
That kind of answers my next question. You're saying they're questioning this idea, but they've been questioning it for years. I mean, this is in some ways an old argument between previously creationism and evolution, and now there are scientists looking into intelligent design. I see from what you said why it's necessary for a film about this, but why go to all the trouble over an old debate? You know, why is it so important now?
Well, I like the answer that's given in the film by scientist Paul Nelson, who says that improperly answered questions don't go away. This debate has been around for a very long time, and this debate, regardless of how much persecution is heaped on people who look at the evidence and don't see materialism as the cause of what we see in life, but see a designer. These people are not going to go away. The debate's not going to go away because it's been improperly answered to this point. So, yes, it is an old debate, but it is also a new debate in that we now know so much more about what goes on inside of a cell. I mean, this is not the same debate that went on when Charles Darwin wrote his book on the origin of species. But we now know we can look inside the cell and we can see this phenomenal amount of digital code that is in the cell, the incredible number of tiny machines that perform all sorts of functions. And we're only really beginning to get and understand all of this. And the idea that all of this happened and that this digital code occurred as a result of randomness and chance is a pretty fantastic idea. When you look at the evidence, there are a lot of scientists who say, you know what, when you look at this, we see code, we see information. Where does that information come from? It's got to have a source. And so, therefore, we should be able to pursue this hypothesis that there is design in the universe. But the problem is we've got the elitists who run the academic institutions, who pull down the research dollars for pursuing their own idea, who are systematically expelling and excluding anybody who disagrees with them.
Yeah, you said this is a fantastic idea, and I'm just wondering why it is that Darwinists, especially, and on the other side, see this as such a dangerous idea. As you were researching and then talking with people making the film, did you get a sense of why they're so threatened by this idea?
Oh, they're absolutely terrified. This is some sort of a Trojan horse, and that people who believe in intelligent design and intelligent design theorists, and indeed the Discovery Institute, that this is just a way to get religion into the schools. To me, it's a hollow argument. Anybody that you know, or that I know, or that anybody in the listeners know, who has a faith position, okay, they believe in God. They look at the universe, and they see intrinsic order, and that's their belief system. Do these people want teachers in high schools and in universities who don't believe that there is intelligence in the universe outside of what we see and outside of mankind? Do they want these people teaching them about God? I don't think so. I think they want to do that in their own churches and in their own homes, but they don't like the idea that these elite scientists who are predominantly atheists are by de facto teaching atheism to their children. And this is the part that I guess bothers me the most, is that these scientists want to act as if they are standing on this hallowed ground, this unchallengeable position that we're scientists and we're neutral on this. No, they're not. No one is. I mean, if you really study and ask these questions, you're going to come down on one side of the fence or the other. And so to act as if a scientist who holds an atheistic position is somehow better qualified to have this discussion and have this debate than somebody who falls on the other side of the fence who has a theistic view, is a bankrupt argument. Both sides of this debate have biases, and both sides of the debate have implications. And to ignore one side altogether, the implications and the biases on that side, and then to exclude the other side from even being discussed, is wrong. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong on a theological basis. It's wrong on a scientific basis.
Right. You know, we say this all the time, that these questions have implications, and there are a lot of interesting issues raised outside the science. The science itself can't answer those questions, but everybody who's asking them has some sort of a background from one side or the other where it leads them to at least think about those things.
Well, there is absolutely no reason for any discussion about the secondary question, was what we call it on the film team. There's no reason for the secondary question to even be discussed, as far as my view, in a science class. If you're going to have a science class and you're going to talk about, okay, here's a view, this is a materialist, atheistic point of view that is what's taught in schools, evolution, and this is an idea where there is nothing but chance and randomness in nature and self-organization in biology, and this is a scientific hypothesis. On the flip side, we have a scientific hypothesis that points toward design in the universe, and that we can scientifically, using mathematics and probability and scientific ideas and principles, we can identify scientifically intelligence, information source in nature, in the universe. And then, okay, what's the set? Well, okay, well, if there is design, then who's the designer? What's the designer? That's what freaks the Darwinists out. And my position is, that's not appropriate for the science class. You can have that discussion whether you believe that the designer is God or is an alien or is something else on your own time, in your own home, your own church, your own group of friends. That's not a discussion for the science class.
Right. Now, as you were meeting scientists and making the film and so on, did you come across any Darwinists or any ostensibly anti-ID scientists who said, yeah, science should be open to researching these kinds of issues, and that intelligent design should be discussed in scientific research centers, and that scientists like Guillermo Gonzalez or Mike Behe or whoever should be allowed to do that kind of research? Did you have any open-minded kind of Darwinists that you ran into?
You know, I would say the answer, the short answer to that is really no. Now, there's one scientist in particular that I would point to, Will Provine, who is featured in the film, who is a very strident, strict atheist.
Right.
I mean, he stands on his position, and there is no wavering on his personal position. However, Professor Provine does allow students to come into his classroom and guests to come in his classroom and talk about the other idea, which is intelligent design, or even theism, or even talk about, you know, God. He allows these people to come into his class and to present their views. He doesn't believe in them, and I think they're personally offensive to him. But he is at least open to allowing people to come into his class and discuss these ideas. Yeah, I have great respect for Dr. Provine because of that.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that you didn't find a lot of Darwinists that way. We encounter very few who are really open to having a serious discussion about the science without attacking us for, you know, these other issues and trying to force things into the public schools that we're not trying to do and so on. So it's good that there was at least him that you ran across.
Yeah. The thing that struck me as I interviewed and set up interviews and was present when Ben Stein was interviewing these scientists, the thing that struck me is that the intelligent design scientists are willing to concede on a lot of issues. They're willing to look at evolution and say, you know, this is a valid hypothesis. This is an idea that should be investigated. You know, evolution is something that may indeed have occurred, but we're questioning the mechanism of it. This idea of random mutation and natural selection, it seems insufficient. Because where does the information come from? You know, where does this digital code that is written on such a level that it's, you know, our minds can't even hardly grasp it. I don't know that our minds can actually grasp it. Where did that information come from? So they're not questioning evolution so much as the source of the information. This is kind of an open-minded approach where they're saying, okay, we're willing to entertain this idea. That to me seems okay. I like that. That's a scientific. You're not closed-minded. You're not completely shut down to an idea. Whereas on the flip side, when you talk to the Darwinists, you know, to a person, these people will not move an inch. They will not concede. They will not say, will not equivocate. They'll say, nope, not possible. And, you know, we actually have and I'm not going to get into it because I want people to go see the film, but we have a pretty amazing encounter at the end of the film when Ben Stein sits down with, you know, Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion, and then he runs through some ideas about, you know, where could life have possibly come from. And it's a pretty amazing moment when that happens.
Yeah, I'll bet that was interesting seeing those things come about. Now, you mentioned you were there sometimes with Ben Stein as he was doing interviews. Did you get to meet a lot of the scientists that are in the film?
I'd say I met probably nearly all of them. I mean, there were a handful. There was one particular trip through Europe that I wasn't on. At least it was two parts of the trip, and I was only on the first part. So, and there were a handful that I didn't meet, but I met probably 90-95% of them.
And do you know, a ballpark figure, how many scientists, both ID proponents and Darwinists, were interviewed for the film?
You know, I believe, I don't actually have the actual number, but I believe that number is more than 50.
Wow.
Yeah, we were pretty extensive, pretty thorough in trying to get to as many voices as possible, because we wanted to get as accurate a picture as possible for the film.
Right. Now, naturally, the Darwinists are already complaining about the film and attacking it, and there have been some charges out there that the filmmakers, you guys, were dishonest in securing interviews, and I'd just like to know how you respond to that.
To me, it is offensive, these accusations and complaints about, you know, how they got interviewed. Look, what I did, and I set up most, I think probably all of them with the Darwinists, these interviews, where I contacted them by phone and email, and I said, we're doing a documentary about this flashpoint, this controversy that exists in science. There are multiple pieces of this puzzle that are in play here, and we've got evolution, intelligent design, and we've got other factors that are part of this, and religion that does play a role. And you're a noted authority on this topic, and so we would like to interview you. So these scientists said, yes, you could interview me. I sent out questions to many of the scientists in advance, and certainly those anybody who asked for them. We had the discussion, and then we went out and did the interviews. And prior to doing the interviews, we went over the questions with the scientists. And then at the conclusion of the interview, we said, you know, thank you for your interview. We're going to put it in our film. You know, see, here's a release that allows us to use what we've captured here on film. And, you know, and we paid them all for their time. And so, you know, one of the complaints that they have is that, you know, the film changed names. Well, anybody who's familiar with how Hollywood works knows that things like the name of films gets changed all the time. This is very common. You know, there was complaints. You know, this is a pretty hollow complaint about, you know, well, you weren't identified as Premise Media, you're identified as Rampant Films. Well, Rampant Films is a division of Premise Media. So also, very common in films, most common, that you would have a division that's part of a larger parent company. So what I come to is this. Here's the acid test for me. Are we taking anyone out of context? Okay? And the answer to that is a resounding no. When you watch this film, what you will see is that we allow these scientists to absolutely make their case, state their claims, and back them up. And what they say in this film is absolutely consistent with the same things that these same people say in books, in movies, on the internet, in articles, and as a matter of fact, what they say publicly, and certainly at when they're in their own conferences with their own kind, they say things that are even more outrageous. And so we're simply allowing them to say things on a bigger stage than what they say pretty much every day on this topic. So we're not taken out of context. We're allowing them to state their case. You know, we're not doing... You know, there's some filmmakers out there who tell one side of the story and that's it, and they pretty much, you know, leave it at that. These people are allowed to make their case. And so it speaks to the honesty and the integrity of the film. I think what these people are upset about is they live in this environment where they own it. They have a monopoly, and they're around people who agree with them. And they're not used to the idea of having to be presented in a media where both sides are allowed to tell their story, allowed to lay it out. They don't like that. They like living in this environment where they control it all and they have a monopoly.
Right. Well, what you're describing here is not unfamiliar to us. I work a lot with the media when requests come in to do interviews with our fellows. And we often follow up on those, talk to whoever's making the request to determine if we're going to sit down for an interview or who should do that interview. It is extremely rare that anyone would ever provide me with questions ahead of time. The fact that you provided some people with questions seems to me to say that this was pretty upfront and honest. It's hard. I can't imagine how they can complain about that.
Well, they certainly...
Well, they do.
I guess people can complain about anything. You know, I was a television news reporter for almost 10 years, a news reporter and anchor, and I can tell you that in 10 years of doing news reporting, I can't recall a single time in which I ever went over the questions, you know, with the interview subject in advance.
Right.
And I contacted these people, and I'd say, hey, here's the story. Here's our angle of the story. Here's what we're doing. We want to talk to you. And they would say, fine. And we'd ask the questions. They'd answer the questions, and we'd move on from there. I did thousands of stories in the media and didn't you know, didn't give people questions in advance. But we allowed these, we gave them to these people, and certainly went over the questions in advance, and those who asked for questions certainly got them.
Wow. Well, everyone's very excited about the film. It's coming later this spring. What do you expect when, you know, the average scientist working, you know, on the bench every day and the average academic sees it? What do you think they will think when they see Expelled?
Well, I think there's going to be two reactions. First of all, let me say, I don't have any delusions that when it comes to any scientist that we're going to change anybody's mind. That's not really the goal here. These people are pretty anchored in their positions. So the people who are completely convinced that in their atheism and in neo-Darwinism are going to look at this film and they're going to criticize it and they're going to say, oh, this isn't right, that's not right, and they're going to jump up and down and yell and call us all kinds of names, and which is pretty much par for the course. So we expect that. On the other side, I think there's going to be a great number of scientists, many more than the elitist establishment has any idea that are actually out there, who are going to privately be very pleased. Because there are, I think just anecdotally, based on the interviews that we did and the people we talked to, that there are tens of thousands of scientists who doubt Darwinian theory but are scared to say anything. Because why would they want their lives turned upside down?
Right.
They've got colleagues that they work with that speak a daily basis with great disdain for anybody who has a belief system that isn't materialism, and they don't want to jump in that pool. They don't want to deal with that kind of hostility. So they just keep their mouth shut. These people are going to be pleased. So that's the two reactions there. The big reaction that we want is with the general public. We want the public to see what's going on in science, and that all that we're asking for is freedom of inquiry, the ability to investigate both sides of the biggest question ever asked. I mean, come on. There is no bigger question. How did we get here? Why are we here? Is there an intelligence in the universe? There couldn't be a bigger, more compelling question. And all we're saying is, in science, both sides of this question, both hypotheses, deserve to be on the table. You can't just systematically push one off the table with integrity. That's what's been done, and we want it back on the table because it deserves to be on the table.
Well, the film is going to do that. I think it's going to raise a level of awareness among the public that we haven't done to this point in time, even over a debate as controversial as this one. So I'm excited about that, and I know that a lot of people are anxious to see the movie. Do you have any idea about when the actual release date is going to be? They've told us spring, and I guess that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm being told April, mid-April.
Okay.
They've hesitated. My superiors, the executive producers, they're still figuring that out, and there's a number of different considerations involved in picking that date. So as soon as that date happens, we'll certainly let you guys and everybody else know when it's going to be.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate your being here. And for the listeners, please do go to the movie's website at www.expelledthemovie.com. There's a lot of good stuff there, and you'll get a lot of information. And I'm sure as soon as a release date is announced, you'll find it there first. So thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Rob Crowther for the CSC in Seattle. Thank you for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.